The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Haunted Whisper, where I, your host, DJ Whisper, will deep dive into Spanish folklore and myth. Each episode will be dedicated to a specific myth, where we will discuss the myth itself and its origin. Hey everyone, it's DJ Whisper, and welcome back to episode 3 of Haunted Whisper. On today's episode, we will deep dive into the myth of El Sombrerón, a mysterious figure with his wide-brimmed hat and eerie presence who haunts those who catch his eye, specifically under the moonlight. I will also go over the origin and the significance of this myth to Guatemalan culture. For those who have never heard of El Sombrerón until now, here's a small description of the actual character. A short man wearing all black, a large hat, and a brilliant belt, with boots that make a lot of noise when he walks. Not only does this figure appear in Guatemalan culture, but it has also been seen as the boogeyman figure in Mexico. Now we can move on to the actual myth. Long ago, in the land of Guatemala, there is a young girl named Susana, a very beautiful girl with large brown eyes and long dark hair. And because she liked to dream, she would often sit outside and gaze up at the stars. One evening, however, while Susana was looking up at the sky, a strange short man appeared beside her, who dressed entirely in black, wore a very large black sombrero, a belt with a buckle of shining silver around his waist, and played upon a silver guitar. He was El Sombrerón, a kind of fairy or demon that liked to seduce young women, specifically girls with large eyes and long hair. He played Susana a beautiful song of love in Spanish, Te amo y nunca te dejo, mi amor, he would sing, which means, I love you and I will never let you go, my love. And when Susana heard it, she became enchanted by the song and thought she was in love with the strange man. But then, hearing the sound of music, Susana's strict and God-fearing parents came out and, worried that their daughter was talking to a strange man, dragged her inside their house, forbidding her to talk to the stranger. El Sombrerón did not go away, however. Instead, he tied his pack of black mules to a post at the front of the house and continued to play his guitar and sing beneath Susana's window. Only she could hear the music now, though, hearing it inside her head and heart, driving her mad with love, so mad that she could not sleep and would not eat, and over time, the girl started to waste away. Her parents tried everything to remove El Sombrerón's spell. They took her to the priest and blessed her with holy water, and they cut her hair short so she would be less attractive to the demon, but nothing they did seemed to work, and they couldn't untie El Sombrerón's mules from the post of their house either. His knot was impossible to loosen, and whatever they tried to cut the rope with, it would break. But then a boy named Pedro, a poor but very fine and upstanding young man, who was deeply in love with Susana. Because he could not bear to see her waste away, he was determined that he would free her from El Sombrerón. But he did not know how, so he went to look for La Llorona, the weeping ghost. He took her a beautiful silk handkerchief to dry her tears. Perhaps, he reasoned, if I give her the handkerchief, she would not try to drown me. Walking about the river in the moonlight, Pedro listened to the sound of a woman crying, and then, suddenly, by the edge of the river, he saw a woman bent and searching in the water, weeping and wailing for her lost children. Bravely, he approached her, holding out the silk handkerchief, and at first, the ghost saw him. She was going to drown him in the river. But then, when she saw the handkerchief, she snatched hold of it and smiled. Thank you, señor, she said, drying her eyes. You are the first man in a long time who has been kind to me. Most people are afraid of me, but why are you not afraid? Pedro told La Llorona about El Sombrerón and how he had enchanted Susana, and the ghost told Pedro that he must challenge El Sombrerón to a fight. But how can I fight a demon? Asked Pedro. So then La Llorona told him what to do. The next day, Pedro went up to the post to which El Sombrerón had tied his mules and he shouted, El Sombrerón, I challenge you to fight me. Immediately, in front of the young man, El Sombrerón appeared, leaning against a wall, and he laughed. "Do you know who I am?" he said. "How do you hope to fight me?" "I will fight you," said Pedro bravely, "and I will beat you." So then El Sombrerón took off his huge sombrero, and Pedro saw that he had horns beneath it, as large as bulls, and getting down on all four, El Sombrerón charged towards Pedro, flames shooting out of his nostrils as he snarled like a bull and a mad look in his eyes. And then Pedro ran. He ran as fast as he could with El Sombrerón chasing behind him. Because El Sombrerón was so fast, sometimes one of his long horns would prick Pedro, but this only made the young man run faster. But then, in front of him, Pedro saw the ceiba tree, a very ancient and sacred tree, and just as he was getting close to it, he leaped suddenly to one side. And because El Sombrerón was chasing after him so fast, he couldn't stop in time and went crashing into the tree, getting both of his long horns stuck in the trunk. "Let me go," he shouted angrily to the tree. But because the tree was scared, El Sombrerón could not free himself from it, no matter how he struggled. "I will cut you loose," said Pedro to El Sombrerón, "but only if you swear upon the holy book that you will free Susana from your spell. Leave and promise to never return here again." El Sombrerón put his hand upon a Bible and burned his handprint into its cover, but he swore to do what Pedro had asked, and a demon cannot break an oath sworn upon the Bible. Then Pedro used his axe to cut the demon free, and picking up his giant sombrero, he and his pack of black mules disappeared as fast as the wind. And when he did, the spell that his silver guitar had placed upon Susana's heart was broken. She had forgot all about her mad love for El Sombrerón, and not only that, when Susana's parents heard what Pedro had done to free his daughter, they knew that he was a fine and upstanding young man who loved Susana and would care for her. So they consented to him marrying her, and Pedro and Susana both lived happily ever after. I'd say it's the first story I've heard that's had some sort of relationship for love and obsessions or attraction. And, you know, I've learned a lot about Mexican legends, but I really haven't had a lot of the opportunity to, you know, go beyond just that. And it's kind of the reason why I chose to talk about this myth, because we both kind of get that learning experience. And, you know, every myth, since I've said since the beginning of my podcast, every myth shares a lot about a culture. The actual origin of El Sombrerón is quite unclear, but we do know that it is deeply rooted in Central American folklore, specifically in Guatemala. It is a part of a collection of stories that have been passed down through generations, which actually have been influenced through Mayan beliefs and Spanish colonial culture. The combination of these two is pretty typical in a lot of Latin American myth, where indigenous spiritual beliefs are integrated or modified with contact with the European colonizers. And specifically, some elements of the myth of El Sombrerón might come from the indigenous Mayan traditions, specifically their belief in spiritual forces, nature spirits, and other supernatural entities. These beliefs were often blended with later Spanish stories and Catholic teachings. As for Spanish influence, the image of a man and a large hat is practically the key characteristic of El Sombrerón, and it be directed to reference a Spanish colonial dressing during the colonial period. And the idea of supernatural dark figure wandering at night and causing harm also aligns with themes found in European legends, particularly those involving spirits or demons. Since I have now covered the myth and the origin, I would like to now focus on the significance of the myth of El Sombrerón. El Sombrerón can often be seen as a figure that warns against certain behavior, such as, you know, youthful love or attraction. And it can be viewed as a cautionary tale about the dangers of being too beautiful or, you know, simply too naive, and that there are consequences of romantic obsessions. And, you know, since this myth has a lot of variations, in Guatemala, this myth is prominent and tied closely to the country's culture, but the figure has been adapted to integrate into many other Latin American stories. In Mexico, for example, el sombrerón is often seen as a symbol of both fear and fascination. He is commonly linked to the idea of el duende, who is a supernatural being that causes mischief. And like many other myths, el sombrerón is both a warning and a tale of enchantment. His presence is often interpreted as a metaphor for the unrequited love or obsession. The myth like this helps explore the complexities of relationships and the consequences of being overly infatuated or, you know, simply ignoring boundaries. El sombrerón can also fit into the traditional tragic love stories found in both Mexican and Guatemalan literature and art, where the line between passion and danger can become very blurred. It's also important to note that on a psychological level, the myth can represent the dangers of obsessive love, unrequited desires, and how someone or something can become all-consuming. And, you know, it really brings into perspective, you know, it's just a myth, but, you know, it actually shares a lot of, you know, real scenarios that can occur. And, you know, just having this set as an example can serve as a lot as a caution for a lot of, you know, young people. Another point is that the music played by El Sombrerón can symbolize the seductive and often dangerous nature of art or, you know, beauty, and how something that initially feels pleasurable can ultimately lead to harm. As drastic as this myth is, you know, harm and almost death. But it's also important to note that El Sombrerón shares a lot of similarities with other folklore figures across Latin America and Europe, specifically those who are known for their haunting and seductive qualities, such as, like, you know, La Llorona. And these figures are often operate as a cautionary symbol within society. And in this case, you know, the theme was love and attraction. Well, in my previous episode, El Charro Negro, it actually symbolized unchecked desire for wealth. So there's kind of a common pattern of these feelings of great desire and love, and how, yes, they're good, but at the same time, that's when, to a certain point, when you start crossing that line, it's when it starts becoming unhealthy. And I think that's what these stories are trying to warn people that, you know, you have to have your feelings checked. You have to understand that if you go too far, at the end, you're bringing more harm. Since I've already mentioned a little bit of La Llorona, I wanted to mention how it's very interesting how this version of the myth portrays La Llorona as the helper for Pedro. And seeing how La Llorona in her own story is depicted as the villain, and then reading this version and seeing how there's this different side of her, we see how her character is more enhanced. And it just brings out more of her, or more of what she could have been like. And, you know, it really shows that proof that an act of kindness can bring the better side of someone. You know, yes, it's cheesy, but it is true. And this tale of El Sombrerón serves as a cautionary tale, particularly for young girls, to teach them to be modest, to obey their parents, and to be wary of men, while also reinforcing traditional values about marriage and family. You know, I don't want to say that I don't fully agree with this. You know, there are some things that I don't agree. I feel like maybe the time the story is based on, it makes sense why they're, you know, they teach young girls to be modest and stuff. But I think it's important for them to, you know, be able to express themselves, be able to find love. But I do get, you know, you have to be cautious with every person you meet. But yeah, I do agree that, you know, the story does bring in the value of family and, you know, how her parents saw that Susana was in a very unhealthy situation. So they decided to take matters into their own hands and try to stop that connection between her and El Sombrerón. That's it for today's episode. We covered key insight on the myth of El Sombrerón, and I hope you all enjoyed this story. If you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did, stay tuned to the next episode on La Cinguanaba, a mysterious legend from Central America. Famously known for haunting those who wander at night, her story is a chilling reminder of the consequences of betrayal. We will uncover more on my next episode. Stay tuned.